first, I was going to ask about Lindsay's background, unless there's something else that you would like to start with. Just kind of growing up in Uvalde and...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was born and raised in Uvalde. I went to Southwest Texas Junior College. I was going off to go to college at UT. My father and grandmother still live in Uvalde. I have tons of cousins and aunts and uncles there. And then my mother and stepfather live in Vance up by Campwood.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you the name if you want. My mom and dad, my mom and stepdad are Joy and John Williams. And my father is Jack Welch of Uvalde.
I'm sorry, what was the first name?
Jack. And I don't know if anybody mentioned this to you or if anybody figured it out, but my maiden name is Welch, obviously.
Okay.
And I actually used to work at the Uvalde Leader News.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
Yeah, it was about 11 years ago. But Craig Garnett and Carol Cookman should remember me because I actually went to school with Carol's daughter, Sadie. But my name was Lindsay Welch at the time. That's my maiden name.
Okay. You worked at the Leader News about 11 years ago.
Yep.
Okay, and you said the last name is Welch?
Yes, W-E-L-C-H.
Okay. All right. So Carol and Craig, and then also Norma's here. Was Betty here when you were here?
Betty, and I actually know Betty through her family, the Hildebrands. I spent several years working for Representative Harvey Hildebrand.
Mm-hmm.
In Austin office, and I still do freelance work for his campaign.
Well, that is very interesting.
Well, I still got all my Texas roots. I live in North Carolina, so that's where the Marine Corps tells us to live.
Okay. Okay, and then you said that you went to the junior college here, and then you went on to UT?
Yep, I went to the University of Texas, Austin, for my undergrad.
Okay, and what did you study?
I have degrees in journalism and government.
Okay.
And then I hope you're not a huge UT fan because you might consider me a traitor. But then I
went to UT.
Then I got my master's from the University of Oklahoma.
Okay. University of Oklahoma, and your master's was in?
My husband's laughing at me because he's from Oklahoma.
Oh.
I'm a loyal UT fan. Down to Sooners.
So a little bit of rivalry there, or?
That is an understatement.
Holidays are always interesting around the household.
Okay. And is that where you met?
No, we actually met in Washington, D.C. I moved up there to work for a lobbying firm, and my husband was up there with the Marine Corps, so we met in D.C.
Okay. Okay. So have your children been to Uvalde yet?
Oh, yeah. Not Philip has Philip been? No, Philip hasn't been to Uvalde. Our other son has, Noah. Yeah, we actually didn't get to come back this Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first Christmas we've never come back. It was kind of a lonely Christmas. It was just me and the boys in our house.
Okay. Do you plan a trip anytime in the future, your future?
Yeah, as soon as Toby gets back from his deployment. He's deployed right now, but we're actually in Florida. He had to come here for work for a week, so the boys and I flew down here so that we could see him in the evenings when he's off. And he'll get back at the end of April, and we will be going down to finally see our family then, because all of our families dying for us to come down and visit.
Okay. Can you hold on for just a minute? I'm going to see if I can switch phones in the offices because this one's kind of busy.
Okay.
Okay, I will be right back. I'm sorry about that. That one was just kind of noisy in there, and so.
That's okay. We apologize for our voice start being noisy.
Oh, well, okay, let's see. Okay, so you were saying that as soon as Toby's back from deployment that you'll come visit?
Yeah.
Et cetera. Okay. Grab my notes. I threw everything together when I came in here. So how long has Philip been with you? About 2 months now?
Yes. I brought him home November 15th.
November 15th. Okay. And so how is the first Christmas?
It was really good. I wish we could have been with family, but mm-hmm. it was also just wonderful being in our own house and being able to start new traditions. It was really funny, though, because the concept of our Christmas is so foreign to him.
Mm-hmm.
So many things that we did, he just was confused by. We went to Walmart to go pick out stockings, and he was adamant that he did not want one. He was refusing to let me buy him a stocking, and I did not know why. And finally, he put it up to his feet, and he was like, "Mommy, too big, too big." And I was like, "Oh, no, no, we're going to put toys in it." And he just looked at me like I was crazy. And then we went out and bought a real Christmas tree, and I was dragging it in the house on myself, which I've never done. I was trying to set it up on the stand, which is deceptively difficult. It doesn't mm-hmm. look like it's going to be that hard, but it really is. And the whole time I'm dragging the tree in the house, he is just looking at me like, who is this crazy new woman who is my mom, and why is she bringing a tree inside the house? And, of course, on Christmas Day, when he realized that he gets all sorts of presents, then he was really excited.
Okay.
But until then, he just thought that he'd been adopted by complete madmen.
With Noah, did you tell him or explain to him as you were going through the adoption process that, you know, you were adding to the family, or did you wait until it was more concrete?
Well, to start with the process, he was just about to turn 2, and it took us almost 2 years. So we waited until, you know, we had a court date, and we were going to Ethiopia, and we really started pumping him up, saying, you know, you're going to get a big brother, and he was really excited about it.
Started showing him the pictures that the adoption agency would send us as they, every month or two, they'd send us updates of, pictures and kind of his medical and things that he's been doing. So we were showing him kind of, as we would get those updates, we would show him the pictures and be talking to him that, this is going to be your new brother. And so.
And he was really excited. When we walked off the plane in November, Noah ran right up to Philip and gave him a big hug. And he was like, "Philip, you're home." And when I was in Ethiopia, I showed pictures of Philip, but I think he was still a little tired from the 36 hours of flying, and he wasn't quite as excited about Noah, but now he is. Now they're little partners in crime. I think Noah's a little bit like, this is great, having a brother is wonderful, why didn't I have a brother before?
Okay. What are kind of their favorite activities?
I think riding their bicycles, especially for Philip. I mean, even when we first met him at the orphanage, I think that was the one thing that he said he wanted whenever he, got to the U.S. was he wanted a new bicycle. And so we got him that for Christmas, and now I think that's, that and playing soccer are probably, he could spend an entire day doing those two activities.
Okay. And I noticed that you're homeschooling Philip now. Is that, as he learns English, or is it something that you plan to do for both boys?
Well, it depends on the school district that we live in.
Okay.
But regardless of where we are living right now, I think it would have been best for Philip to be homeschooled because he really didn't have any English skills when we met him in Ethiopia, everything was done through a translator. So right now, I'm homeschooling him. We're doing ESL classes. He does go to a tutor as well. And we're part of a homeschool co-op that has about 50% of its membership is actually internationally adopted children, which is just, it wasn't designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worked out really well for him. And he's picking up English so quickly, and I can dedicate so much time to him one-on-one. We had spoken to the counselor at his school, and it's a school that he would have been going to if we'd enrolled in public school. And we were looking at ESL classes for about an hour a week. And I was just like, that's really not going to work with him. Even his native language is Amharic, so they don't even have the same alphabet that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as reading and writing and speaking English, he was really starting at less than a preschool level. And it's amazing how quickly in like 2 months he's come. And it's just children can absorb language so quickly because he's reading simple words now, and anything with like short vowel sounds, he can already start to read. And part of, I'm sure you know, working with his tutor and me and him working for hours a day.
Okay.
A lot more, because that's the same in every country.
Before I forget on that note, do you have any pictures of you and the children?
Oh, yeah. I can email you some of this.
Okay. Do you want my address now or later?
Give me your email address.
Okay. It's M.
Okay.
Garcia.
Okay.
At UvaldeLeaderNews.com.
No. That's actually Philip talking right now.
Are they playing a game or just trying to get Mom's attention?
Oh, he was saying, Mom, this movie, please, because I guess a preview for a movie came on that he apparently wants to see.
Oh.
Oh, it's the Cars movie. He wants me to let him watch the Cars movie.
Okay. So you mentioned Christmas was kind of a new experience. The boys' birthdays. Have you had birthdays for Noah or Philip since Philip has been with you?
Not yet. And yeah, Noah is coming up. He'll be 4 November 18th. February 18th. Yeah, we're going to see how that goes. I'm sure that'll be...
I'm sure that... That'll be another foreign concept to him of, you know, another arbitrary day that he gets cake and ice cream and more presents. So I think, at first he'll probably be somewhat confused by it, but then realize, oh, this is actually a pretty good deal.
We're actually really fortunate because one of my dearest friends has adopted 3 children from Ethiopia as well. And she lives really close to me in North Carolina. We actually met after we started the adoption process. And her oldest daughter that she adopted speaks Amharic as well. And she's been home a little bit longer than Philip, so she's fluent in English. And she's been such a great resource for just calling her up and having her translate something quickly to Philip or asking her to explain something new. So that's a really big help for us. And we've been very fortunate to have them so close.
Okay. Okay, and I saw in the story that was sent over that Philip had siblings in Ethiopia.
Yes.
Was he close to the other siblings at the time that you adopted him, or had they been kind of split for a while?
They were all significantly older than him, and As far as we, I don't, as far as I know, I don't know if he's ever even met them.
Okay.
Like, I think his oldest sibling's actually in, he's in her late 20s, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and his, you know, he'd been in the orphanage for over 3 years by the time that we met him. So, you know, his language skills are coming along, and he can understand almost everything we tell him, but he can't always express in words, like, complex thoughts. So that's one of those things I definitely want to be able to talk to him more about once he has a firmer grasp on the English language and can kind of tell us what he remembers.
Okay.
Because we receive a whole packet of information on him. It tells us about his background, his health, his, you know, family history, where he comes from. But so few records, like, are kept in Ethiopia. Like, they don't have birth certificates. They don't have death certificates. And there's issues with translation. They're not even on the same calendar we are on. You know, it's not the year 2012 where he's from. So it's really easy for things to get lost in translation.
Okay. So how did you find Philip, decide that's where you wanted to adopt from?
We weren't really picky about the country. I mean, I think we just looked at every country out there and saw which one we were eligible to adopt from. And, you know, some countries have age requirements, like you have to be between the ages of 30 and 40. Well, I'm 27 right now, so, like, I can't adopt from China because I'm not 30. And some other countries had requirements that you had to go stay with the child for at least 90 days in their country. And because we have a child and because my husband's job, we can't just pack up and go move to another country for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we met Ethiopia's requirement, and we decided to pursue an adoption from there.
And I think also Ethiopia at the time was one of the quickest from the time you started the process till you actually got the child. It was one of the faster programs, which ended up not being necessarily that fast once we started, but I think that was also one of the things that kind of led us to starting, at least with Ethiopia, initially. So
when we started the process, we were living in Australia. That's where we were stationed. And we had moved so frequently that we were hoping to complete the adoption before we moved again. And that obviously didn't happen at all. We were initially quoted a time frame of 6 to 10 months, and it ended up taking more like almost 2 years.
Okay.
So we started adopting from Ethiopia, and we were initially wanting to adopt a girl under the age of 4. That's what we were on the waiting list for. There's a list most adoption agencies have called a waiting kids list, and these usually have children who are special needs. And special needs can be medical special needs, it can be like behavioral, or they can just be because of their age. Because in the adoption community, any kid over the age of 3 is considered an older child.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Philip, he was perfectly healthy. He didn't have any, I mean, he had been malnourished, but that's to be expected in Ethiopia. But he didn't have any other problems. But he was, at the time, 6 years old when we started the process of adopting him. And our agency was, you know, brutally honest that nobody wants a 6-year-old boy. Everybody wants to adopt an infant girl. So we saw him on the waiting list, and suddenly all that stuff about wanting a little sister for Noah kind of went out the window, and we were like, nope, we want him.
Mm-hmm.
So we formally applied to adopt him specifically last April.
Okay.
And, of course, when we started the adoption process, we didn't know that Toby was going to be deploying or, you know, in an ideal situation,
I wouldn't have brought him home while my husband's deployed. But it's life, and it's worked out really well. Not because he's gone, but in spite of it.
Okay. And where are you deployed now?
I'm currently deployed to Bahrain, fortunately, I was actually able to go and meet Lindsay in Ethiopia when we had our court date in July. So, it just was fortunate, the location of where I was deployed to, I was able just to, for me, it was a, less than a 2-hour flight, basically, to land there in Addis and meet up with Lindsay after she had about a 13-hour flight. So, it just worked out for the best for all of us, just the location of where I was deployed to.
And, Lindsay, do you have family near you? Anyone near North Carolina?
No one at all. But we have made some really great friends there, and our church is just so supportive. It's a small church called Grace Community of Topsail. And literally, I would say about 80% of the congregation has adopted internationally. We really have a heart for orphans in the ministry. And they have just been such a wonderful resource. When we got off the plane, there were probably 30 people at the airport from our church there to welcome Philip. They made signs. They all had gifts for him. Then the very next day, they held like a welcome home party for him. They had a cake with his picture on it, which he was just amazed by. Mm-hmm. And of course, he didn't like cake because he never had it before. But we all enjoyed it for him. But I'm really glad that I have them, and I've made some friends. I've made so many friends through the church, because that's really made it easier, considering that neither Toby or I have family anywhere near North Carolina.
Okay.
And my mom did fly out, and she stayed with us for a few weeks. She wanted to meet her new grandson and spoil him for a little while.
Okay.
They're kind of my extended family.
And so anything that I haven't asked that you think would be interesting for people in the area who know you or remember you that you would like to share?
We'll think about that one.
Okay. Let's see. What has been perhaps the I don't know how to phrase that.
It's okay.
Maybe one of your favorite experiences with having the boys here, and kind of something you've done as a family, or something you've gone out, or just something that was funny or touching for you?
I'll give mine because it's really fresh on my mind. I don't know if this is like the best, but it's recent. Yesterday we took the boys to Busch Gardens, and Philip just had the time of his life. Obviously, it was his first trip to a theme park. And he was so excited by everything. They have kind of a mini zoo there, and he really wanted to see a real-life lion. Like, that was the thing he'd been asking about since we walked through the park. Could he see a lion? Could he see a lion? So we saw a lion, and he was just overjoyed that he could see one in real life. Yeah. And then we went to the little plate, where they always have games in theme parks. And there was this one game, only him and Noah were playing. So one of them was going to win the prize, and Philip ended up winning it. And Noah's, like, so excited about having a brother, and they've just attached so quickly. But when Philip won the prize, Noah was so excited for him. He was like, good job, Philip. Congratulations, Philip. And, you know, normally when you see little brothers,
mm-hmm.
like, they'll fight over it or one of them will be disappointed. And that's not to say they don't do that sometimes. But it's just so cute to see how excited Noah gets for Philip. And how he's, like, always cheering him on and encouraging him, even though he's the little brother. And he always introduces him, like, as my Philip. So just seeing them bond and seeing their relationship, it's kind of a best-case scenario as far as adoptions go, because especially adopting an older child, you have to be aware of, you know, their histories, and they have these whole identities and personalities that develop less than ideal conditions, and they might have experienced poverty or abuse, and their behaviors are going to reflect that, but we've been fortunate that Philip's just transitioned so well into our family, and he's bonded with us and with Noah so quickly.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Toby?
Well, I don't know if mine is a best thing, but since I've not gotten to be around as much since I'm deployed, that I have fortunately been able to see him a few times. Just my work has allowed me to come back to the States, and as I'm attending conferences, and you know, Lindsay and the kids have been able to come down here to Tampa while I'm here, so I get to see him, you know, for a few days at a time. But oftentimes, I don't think he quite understands just yet that, you know, I'm not home every night, or why I'm not home every night. And, you know, now I get to see him for a few days, and then they all go home, and then they keep asking Lindsay, you know, especially Philip, you know, oh, where's Daddy? Or, you know, is Daddy coming home? And it's always really good to see them for several days, but then for, you know, another week after I've gone, when I talk to Lindsay on the phone, she's like, you know, the boys, they are, you know, especially Philip, asking, you know, well, where's Daddy, or when's he coming home, or if they get in the car, they're always, you know, are we going to see Daddy, or, you know, it's for him, I think, not quite understanding, you know, me being in the Marine Corps and me being gone a lot, you know, I don't think he's quite comprehended the idea of what I do. So it'll actually be good, you know, here in a few more months when I'm home for good, that, you know, I get the chance to spend a little more time with them, and, you know, and I'm home every night. And so.
Yes, that will be very, very good. I told Toby my single mother meter is pegged.
Okay.
He's actually a much better cook than me. So when we're with Toby, the kids have these extravagant meals. So I'm sure they're like, what? I want Daddy to be home just so that I can have these awesome four-course meals every night. I'm more likely to be like, you know, we want hot dogs and macaroni and cheese.
And on that note, what has kind of been Philip's favorite meals? Is there anything that, other than, like you said, cake? He didn't like cake. So has there been anything else that he's kind of balked at?
It was so funny because at first he didn't really like so many, like, typical food that little kids like. Like, he didn't like mac and cheese. He didn't like pizza. He didn't like hamburgers. Anything with cheese he didn't like. He didn't like ice cream. He didn't like cake. All that stuff was too sweet. But boy, did he become Americanized fast, because he wants, like, an ideal meal for him would be pizza and Kool-Aid and cookies afterwards. That would just make him happy. So every time we go out, I'm sure he's kind of like thinking that mom's being mean, so I make the kids get water. So when it's, oh, we get Kool-Aid, it's a really big treat.
Okay. Okay. Trying to think. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the Cars movie. What else do the boys agree on what they watch? Do they have different tastes in movies and books? And
not really. We're really into Kung Fu Panda.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, I don't know if somebody donated to Tom and Jerry's shirt or something when he lived in Ethiopia, but from the moment he got here, he was all about Tom and Jerry, even though he'd never actually seen a cartoon as far as I know. So he's really into Tom and Jerry. When it comes to, like, bedtime stories, and I've just noticed this last few nights, we have, you know, a whole shelf of books for the kids, and I'll be like, go pick out one or two books each. Philip will always pick out the longest book. Doesn't matter what it is, he just goes for the longest every time.
Picks out the one longest, or just going through and picking a different one that's the longest, longer than the others?
Well, usually I pull out like 15 or so and I let them pick them up because I get tired of reading the same stories over and over.
Mm-hmm.
So whichever one's the longest of like the ones I present to them, that's the one they'll pick.
Okay.
I don't know if it's because he really likes reading or he knows that they'll get to stay up longer because it takes me a probably a little of both. And he's real, you know, as Toby said earlier, he's really, really into soccer. And we signed him up for a soccer team that's going to start here in a couple weeks. So I'm excited to see how that goes. Because he would just go play soccer all day if you let him.
Okay. And Noah, does he like soccer as well?
He's okay with it. He's really into, like, reading and counting. Like, as an example, Toby was playing soccer with the boys a month or so ago when he was here on another trip. And we're kicking the ball around. And Noah will just, like, stop in the middle and pick up the ball and start reading the words on it.
So when Philip starts his soccer team, Noah's going to kind of be there just happy to be cheering and not wishing he was out there too, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Noah's so funny because we'll be doing some work with Philip and, you know, like any little boy, after a while, Philip's like, you know what, I'm done with school, let's go play outside. Whereas Noah will run over and be like, let's do homework, Mommy. And Noah shouldn't even be starting preschool until this fall, this coming fall. But he's all about, like, doing the same homework as Philip, even though he really, like, some things he can, some things he can't. And I have a flashcard game that has, like, sight words on it that I'll play with Phillip at restaurants, and Noah's really into that. He wants to play that, too, and so if he sees the cards, he'll be like, you know, play the game, Mommy, play the word game. So he's more likely to be, I don't know, if I had to call it now, he's going to be the studious one, and Phillip's going to be at the athletic one.
Okay. And in this picture that I have accompanying the article, I have it printed out, so it's in black and white, but it kind of looks like the boys are dressed similarly. Was that for a picture, or is that kind of how they're, I guess, working with?
Oh, they don't always dress like that, but I thought those jackets were so cute, and they were on clearance, so I had to buy them, and Philip loves his. Noah was kind of like, eh. But, like, we're going to take cute pictures for Daddy.
Okay.
So Philip wears that jacket all the time.
Okay. All right. Anything else that
Well, I don't know how well
it
is, but I will give a little bit of a thought out, I guess. You know, I've mentioned that my Church is really involved in the orphan ministry, and I've met a lot of adoptive families. Well, five friends and I, so six girls total, are actually running a 200-mile relay race in April to raise money for Amazina Ministries, which works with orphans and underprivileged women in Uganda. So we will each end up running about 33 miles of it, and we are seeking sponsors to sponsor us on our run, if you would include that in there.
Okay.
Seeking sponsors. I mean, I can email you the information, but basically,
yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, it's a nonprofit organization, so donations are tax deductible.
Okay, and then so to sponsor you, would you like them to email you or?
Yeah, they can email me, and I'll send you the address where they can make donations. Sorry.
Okay.
But we're really excited about three of our teammates have adopted or are working in orphan ministry, so we're really dedicated to it, and now we're going to go run for 36 hours straight to show it.
Okay.
We've all done stunts before, so it's not – we're all runners.
All runners, okay. One more thing before I forget. In the story that was sent over to us, the Defense Video and Imagery Distribution System, I noticed that you said that you had decided before you were married that you would adopt. Was there a particular reasoning for that? Like somebody you knew growing up that had been adopted, or just a decision that you made?
When we were dating, I think she and I knew that at some point we would, have our own children. But we both had talked about, you know, at some point down the road. I don't think we thought maybe it would be this quickly, but we had said, I think after we have our children, and I think. We had talked about, we'll have, at least a couple of our own, ideally a boy and a girl. And, then I think, it'd be great to adopt and, give a child that, isn't as fortunate, try to, help them out. And so, we had just kind of talked about it of, eventually we will. We didn't really set any specific, country or boy or girl. We just kind of said, we thought that was something that we wanted to do.
We've been talking about that just in generic terms, to be said, since before we dated. And then we had Noah, and when he was about a year old, we tried again to get pregnant, and I didn't. But we didn't do fertility treatments or anything. We were just like, we could investigate that route, or we could just go ahead and adopt now. So we started talking about it a little bit more seriously, and we've been in Australia for about 4 weeks, and I remember Toby just came home one day and was like, we've been talking about adoptions, and I think if we're going to do it, we should just go ahead and do it now. So, literally that day, I think we started researching adoption agencies and finding out what the process was, and when we started to realize that we knew absolutely nothing about it and it was much more complicated than we could have possibly imagined. And it's definitely intimidating. It is a long, hard, intimidating process, but it's so worth it. And now that we know what to expect, it won't be as scary the second time around.
And so do you plan on adopting again?
Yes, we've actually already started our home study for a second adoption. Now that we're in the state, we're looking at adopting through foster care, which is legally possible when you're living overseas, but practically impossible. So now that we're back in America, we're looking at that as an option, and we're also looking at other countries because, we said we'd have four kids. And a few weeks ago, we were talking about it and looking at some sibling groups because there is a high need for older children and for sibling groups to be adopted. There's so many that are just looking for homes. So we started looking at sibling groups, and Toby was like, okay, maybe five.
Okay.
Well, who knows? You might be talking to me in, like, a year, and I'll be like, okay, just kidding, we adopted a sibling group before.
Okay. Well, I think that's it for my questions. But if you would send me the information about your benefit run, I can work that in there. And then also some pictures.
I will do that.
All right. Well, thank you for speaking with me. And then if you think of anything else, you can always give me a call for later news. And I guess you know the number since you worked here. And I'll be sure and tell Carol and Craig that I spoke with you. And like I said, call me back with anything, and I will look forward to your email.
Great. Thank you so much, Megan.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.